and welcome back. Today is Friday, December 5th, 2014. My name is Angela Walton-Rajay, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, everyone, how are you? It is December, my goodness. Well, I certainly hope that you had a wonderful holiday, Thanksgiving holiday, but it is December already. Hard to believe it. The 12th month of the year. In less now than 3 weeks, Christmas Day will be here. So, and of course, this is always what we build up to every year. And I hope that you're not getting too inundated with holiday things. I know some people did the holiday thing, rather the shopping thing, last Friday or last weekend. And today, when I was coming back from a class that I teach, I noticed that some of the stores were kind of full with holiday shoppers. And oh goodness, I haven't even begun to do that and probably won't begin for quite some time. But anyway, I know that it is the season, and I just hope that people are going to enjoy themselves with family and treasure your loved ones. Treasure the time that you have to spend with them and just the joys that can bring you. To me, that is the best gift of all. And other kinds of things in terms of how one spends one's time as opposed to spending money, that's really of little consequence. Although I know, I've been there, I've done that. It's hard not to get caught up in it. But anyway, if you are out and about, certainly to be safe. Things have been going on, and I am sort of trying to get my thoughts together in terms of getting ready for next year. We're only 2 months away from Roots Tech. And then, of course, other events are going to be unfolding also for 2015. And we're just on the eve of 2015. I do want to share something with you all. This is for those who live in the greater Washington, D.C. area. The National Archives branch in College Park, Maryland, that's Archives 2, as many people know that particular branch. Well, the staff at Archives 2 have scheduled a brown bag get-together on December 11th. And it's basically just bring your lunch and let's talk about records. And it's going to be at College Park, 11:30 to 1. And it's really a good introduction to the processing and the use of case files at Archives 2. And I think it's just kind of a really neat thing to do. And I really want to throw that out as a possible suggestion. I know several of us have discussed the possibility of having sort of a USCT read-in day, and we may start to do that after this holiday break comes and goes, to really get together at the National Archives and commit ourselves to reading, I don't know how many people will join us, but a few case files that day, and perhaps produce something as a result, maybe a summary of the case files, some sort of publication. Maybe it may emerge. Who knows what creativity may occur. This may be something that will be shared at a future genealogical event or maybe in a future broadcast or podcast. But, you know, a lot of us have a lot of talents and a lot of us are working independently. We see each other, we give each other a cursory nod and go do our thing. Sometimes we may have some things that we can share with each other that may be useful to others. So I'm really just happy to see the announcement about the brown bag get together. And I really encourage similar kinds of gatherings, especially those of you who live near repositories. If you're in North Carolina, why not get some friends and do something together at the State Archives in Raleigh? You know, if you're in Nashville, maybe it's a good time to get together with some genie buddies and do some things together. And we have another platform we continually overlook, and I want to really thank Nika Smith for reminding us of this platform, and that is the online platforms that are available. And a case in point, a thanks to her, of course, for organizing the Google Hangout, and I'll talk about that a little bit too. But we can start to have some more things, or gatherings rather, where we can discuss issues, we can talk about strategies, and we can teach each other. This is what certainly being able to fellowship with one another will really be about, being able to teach and to share strategies and methods. You know, sometimes we think that we can only learn from someone at a conference. And no, there are many opportunities and platforms out there from which we can share. I will also be reactivating in a few weeks my video channels as well to start to talk about some of those things and some of the things that I research, some of the areas of specialization that I have, and hope that you'll be joining the community. There are so many opportunities out there. So I hope I'll see some of you maybe on the 11th, weather permitting, of course, at College Park at Archives 2. And I appreciate someone passing this on and sharing this. I also know that some people are going to be having meetings. Some of the genealogical societies have their final meeting of the year coming up in the next few days. Some are having them tomorrow, which is Saturday. Some are having weekday meetings, and or evening meetings rather, not weekday. And so as the year is winding down, this is a wonderful time, great time of the year to really go through some things, make some plans, and set some goals for next year and where you would like to be in terms of being able to take your genealogical projects to a different level or to a different stage. And of course, depending upon which line of the family you may be working on, that may be the one thing that determines what stage you're in. Some are pretty advanced with one line, maybe just beginning another, and we certainly understand how that can go. But anyway, take some time to reflect on how the holiday season affected your ancestors. How did they celebrate it? Did you ask them? If not, maybe this is a good time to look and see how holidays were celebrated in the early 20th century. How were they celebrated during those painful years of the Depression? Oh my goodness. Wow. Sometimes children were happy just to get a piece of fruit and just to enjoy each other. One of the holiday stories, and I'll probably share it with you in a future broadcast, maybe a little bit closer to the holidays. One of the most delightful stories that I heard was an old story. I believe it was broadcast on radio. It was by a well-known storyteller about some families that were poor families and how they were able to cope during the holiday season. It's a beautiful, heartwarming story, and I'll share it with you later. But I think the lesson is, or the point is, how can we acknowledge what our own ancestors did? You know, yes, the present is about us, but is it really? Hopefully, if we've learned lessons that we got from the past, we can also appreciate the present where we are. So let's remember to do a little research and see how they spent time. One of my fondest memories, of course, was Christmas morning, going to pick up my grandmother and bring her over to our house. And of course, when she opened the door in her southern, southwestern Arkansas accent, and she would open the door and just say, "Christmas gift, children. Christmas gift." And wow, it was just so heartwarming, and I miss those times as well. Anyway, it's a great time for us to start to plan for the new year and maybe to look at some of those resources. Many of us in the Washington area, we research at the National Archives main branch on Pennsylvania Avenue. How many of us get up to College Park to Archives 2? Wonderful. Rich data is there for us as well. I hope that as you're preparing for 2015, that we'll all take a little bit of time and pause on what that is. This is a milestone year. It will be the 150th anniversary of the end of the Civil War, the war that tore the country in half. And I think it's something that we need to give some thought to. I have ancestors who certainly were individuals who fought for their own freedom, and thankfully they won. But we have to stop and look at where we are 150 years later, after a war that split the country. And where are we now today? Wow, we're at a very trying time, and this has been an amazing week for me, just also as a person who likes to focus on recording history. I pursue history, but I also record history. I'm a journaler and a writer, and this has been a difficult week for us in this country, 150 years later, after enslavement ended for millions of people. We are reminded how still things are so different for us. I'm referring to events in the news, yes. We have seen, what, 3 cases in the last week, a week and a half, that have caught the nation's attention. Cases in which individuals were killed unarmed, and they were killed legally. They were killed by law enforcement, and real sobering things. The legal process was initiated and unfolded, and basically there was no indictment in any case, not even accidental or unintended manslaughter, nothing. Basically, even one was caught on film, and in all 3 cases, one, a gentleman was choked to death on film, another, a 12-year-old child, was killed, and of course we know what happened, unfortunately, in Missouri when the issue of no indictment came. We know what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, and the destruction and devastation that took place there. Wow. And of course, I know there are people who have different opinions. Some people believe that people deserved to die. Wow, that's incredible. That's an incredible sentiment to have. An incredible time in which that kind of feeling is perceived as okay. A person who is perceived as basically unattractive to others deserves not to live. And this is a trying time for so many of us. And yes, right now there are demonstrations that are taking place. The issue is being brought to the attention, and it is capturing the attention of the world. I hope that you are writing about it, writing your feelings, writing your thoughts. The next generation will wonder what you thought about what happened, what you did during that time. And what was it like around you? Because again, they're going to have different ways of obtaining historical data, but your own thoughts and feelings and actions that you can record will not be known to the next generation unless you share it. And this is sometimes where those lessons can be passed ahead to the next generation in terms of how those individuals close to you can bring about change, how you helped to bring about change. And I really hope that this is something that we're going to take that time to write about it. We are, within our own community, we are record keepers. And part of that record is how you respond, is how you respond to things that you see that are taking place. And it's a very, very difficult time, and it's been a difficult week for me. Even just last night, listening to the news, another incident has happened again in Arizona. Oh my gosh. When does it end? And should, you know, a petty crime be met with one's death when it takes us years to execute people for a heinous crime that they've been found guilty of? And in many cases, individuals who've done very little have met with death. And one portion of the country can shrug and say, oh, well, they deserved it. Wow. That's sobering. It is sobering to hear individuals judge others. It is sobering to hear that. And so it's difficult for me to just be light and cheerful and happy and talk about the next genealogy conference without at least hoping that you as a researcher, you as a record keeper, you as a person with feelings and thoughts will take some time to jot down what you are thinking, because the next generation will want to know how 150 years after enslavement ended, it was still something that one could hear about 3-4 different instances within 1 week and a half. On not the incidents occurring within a week and a half of each other, but we can still hear 3 different unrelated individuals and unrelated cases where it's considered okay that they're gone. And I guess my hope is that I'll never be content with anyone's death, and will never be content with hearing of the demise of someone because I don't like the class of people that they're from. My hope is that I will not get to that. And my hope is that we can teach the next generation not to be of that caliber, not to be that callous, because that is the callousness that can have people turn a blind eye to the suffering of others. 100 years ago, we were seeing communities destroyed, from Rosewood to Catcher, Arkansas, to Harrison, Arkansas, to Pierce City, Missouri, and one can name case after case after case. The community shrugged. Oh, well, Forsyth County, Georgia, the community can shrug and say, oh, well, when entire communities are wiped out or driven away with the clothing on their back. We're better than this. And we also, when these things happen, and yes, bad things do happen to good people, and that's worldwide. Certainly, there's no class of people on the face of the earth that has the market on suffering. But it is important that we learn from these incidents and that we grow from them. And part of that growth is even sharing what you can share with those who are going to come behind. Children are going to be listening to these stories or hearing adults talking about them close by. They're going to be listening, and they're going to be trying to process what they're hearing. So it is important that we still write and share, and we talk. We talk about these things. And as a person who is a journaler, as a person who writes, it has been difficult at times to just sit and say, wow, this seems as if it's coming so frequently, and what can be done then to express the concern, express beyond the concern, to really bring this to the attention of others, and to educate, which we must do. And I guess I've sort of gone off in this direction. Night before last, it was Wednesday evening, I had a chance to participate in a Google Hangout, and a group of genealogists got together, and we were talking about a number of things from our perspective on what we saw with Finding Your Roots, the PBS special, to, yes, what has been happening in the news. And I guess out of that conversation came the fact that we must also share our thoughts and where we are, and as I said, our thoughts, our concerns, and our actions with those who are going to be looking to us. Not only are the young people or younger people looking to us, but the next generation will be also looking to us, sometimes for guidance and maybe strategies on how to cope during those difficult times. And we all know that, as I said, bad things can happen to good people, and can happen to good people frequently. But the fact is that we can also share those strategies on how to move ahead during these trying times. And someone suggested that I really sort of address the issue of how we respond. And of course, I guess it's also on my mind because I am in the process of sort of immersing myself in several writing initiatives, writing projects, and as I've been pursuing that, and I also try and encourage others to do that, that someone said, you know, share that concern in terms of our need to document where we are and document how we're coping, to share that on the podcast. So that's how we've gotten to this particular point. I mentioned some writing projects. I did miss one. Well, I shouldn't say miss one. I wasn't ready to begin it. I was about to participate in the NANO project. I don't know if many of you are familiar with NANO, N-A-N-O. It's actually an initiative which is part of an effort to get some books published, to get those who've been sitting on their great story to participate in National Novel Writing Month, which is the month of November, 30-day challenge. And no, I didn't participate in it, but I hope to participate in it in the future. It's a 30-day challenge to write 5,000 words a day. At the end, hopefully the goal is to have anywhere from 50,000 to 60,000 words, which would be the size of a novel, and to simply write. And there are all kinds of things to support writers and to get people started. Well, I didn't do it, okay? I've heard of it. This is the second year in a row I've been aware of this undertaking, of this initiative. And I'm hoping one of my goals is to actually be able to participate in NANO next November, which should be quite a challenge to do that. But I think if one is really about to undertake something like that, one has to actually think and prepare oneself several months in advance. Now, maybe I don't need to prepare 11 months ahead, but certainly I do need some time to get myself there, to get an outline of what I want to do, to see what I can develop in terms of structure, and then to sit down and write. And so, yeah, I missed NANO, but maybe NANO next year, 2015, we'll see if that will be the year in which I'll be able to participate in that initiative. Of course, I write a lot anyway, as many of you know that I am a blogger as well. And I not only do I blog, of course, and I have the podcast, but I do a number of things in terms of writing all the time. But that's not necessarily fiction, and fiction's a little bit different in terms of structure. But anyway, that's a goal, and I actually encourage many of you. Now, why? Why particularly writing a novel? Well, sometimes it might be interesting to put into the structure of a novel the family narrative that you've been putting together, to put in the structure of a novel parts of the stories, maybe only one portion of the story, maybe, that one ancestor who left unexpectedly and took his life or her life into an unexpected direction, which actually ended up altering the trajectory of the entire family's existence. Sometimes these are stories that are better told in that kind of narrative more than just giving facts of who begot who, and then, oh yeah, there's Uncle so-and-so. Yeah, you know, he did something kind of interesting. Why not expand upon it and tell that story in a different way? So anyway, many things to think about. And of course, all of my emphasis is on writing, and maybe to find those opportunities. And I want to encourage you to do something also. There is the International Society for Excellence in Family History Writing. I encourage many of you to look at it. I'm going to put over this next year, I'm going to put a link to this writing endeavor. There's an opportunity for you to take your family narrative and to put it into a fascinating story. It can be a story about your journey. It can be actually in fictitious form, if you like, or it can be the actual story of a particular ancestor, but it's family history writing at its best. And there's a competition every year. I urge you to participate in it. And excuse me. Again, these are wonderful opportunities for us to write. And as we're looking at sometimes the ironies, as we see conflict emerging in the world today, sometimes you see some of those parallels that occurred during the times in which our ancestors lived and the perils that they faced, the perils that they came upon. And I encourage you to look into that as well. I'm going to put a few links for you on the podcast website, so you'll be able to see what I'm talking about, but I hope that you're going to also sort of join me in that effort to write more and to write better. And it's something we should all undertake. And besides, I'm anxious to read some of the stories that I know that many of you have. Well, last night's broadcast of Bernice Bennett's show was a rebroadcast. Dr. Maurice Gleason, whom I met around the same time, I think Bernice also met him at the Southern California Genealogy Jamboree in Burbank. And he is a fascinating man with an interest in the participation and the role of Irish people and their participation in the Atlantic slave trade. Fascinating research that he has conducted. And in addition to that, he also has some very, very interesting things to say about DNA. There is a fascinating DNA project that's underway, and he also directed the listeners to a fascinating database where individuals can research any of their ancestors who may have been in the British Isles. A fascinating just the whole legacy of the British Isles or the UK and slaveholders, the presence of slaveholders from various parts of the United Kingdom. It just was a fascinating discussion. It was a rebroadcast, and it was great to hear it again because I had forgotten how many things that he was able to share, not only on just data and statistics and demographic information on people, but other kinds of things, even some very, very specific. On the island of Montserrat, for example, there's some fascinating individuals who share both African ancestry and Irish ancestry, and he talked a lot about that. The St. Patrick's Day celebrations that many celebrate worldwide, and Montserrat particularly, it's a celebration of a slave rebellion. And oh wow, just fascinating things that came out. I encourage you to listen to the show. If you did miss it the first time, certainly tune in and listen to it again. And if it's been a while since you heard it, tune in and listen to it again as well. As you know, the show airs every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. And you can always hear the show again immediately afterwards as a podcast that is archived, and you can download it from iTunes. Always a good time to listen to her show. Well, at this point, a lot of the televised genealogy programs, they've ended for a while. Of course, we're waiting to see when the Genealogy Roadshow will be coming back. We're waiting to see the episodes that were taped in Philadelphia and in St. Louis, and just to see what those will hold. Finding Your Roots has gone off. The final episode, which was a DNA segment, which was fascinating. But, of course, that has you know, that season has come to an end, and we're now eagerly awaiting what the next season may bring us. And of course, many of us, we end watching it together as a group, even though we're all over the country, but we're either in a chat line or, as we were last night, in a Google Hangout and sharing our thoughts and ideas, in addition to other topics that also came to mind. But I'd be curious in terms of what your thoughts were. And what do you do, especially with the plethora of televised genealogy programs, when you encounter people who want to get started? Do you find that it is helpful to have a new group of people who've been inspired to research their history? Do you find that sometimes it's not as helpful because people think it's very, very simple and it's done very, very quickly? I would be curious to hear what some of you think about that. I have found, since I do teach classes, I have found that many people are under an impression that one can go and find their history so quickly. And it's not quite like that. You may find some people online through a community forum where people might be looking for individuals in your family, and there's nothing wrong with that, and hopefully you'll make some connections. But we know it's an ongoing task. So as much as we see and sometimes worry that, oh dear, people are going to get a misimpression that this can be done very quickly in a matter of minutes, it is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to teach. It's an opportunity for us to teach people how to do things the correct way as well. So I hope that as you're helping people get started, you're really teaching them strategies. You are teaching them methods of really pursuing and outlining that process. So in spite of whatever your thoughts may be in terms of whether or not you agree with the conclusion that was reached by the researchers or not, it's still a great opportunity because there has been an increase, a surge in interest in genealogical research. What a great opportunity for us to get others interested, and a fabulous opportunity for us to get the next generation also interested in their history. So anyway, I'm going to wind it down. I know that there's some end of the year events coming on in a number of genealogy societies. So certainly I hope that many of you that are having events, some are having holiday parties. Certainly a shout out to all of you and hope they go well. And certainly as we're getting to this holiday season, this is a wonderful time of the year. This is the time to make those memories. And during the times in which we are right now, which can be trying, let us take some time and write those thoughts down. Get those feelings out. Yes, I'm a biased journal keeper and urge others to journal as well. But in the meantime, of course, I do want you to continue to do your research and, you know, continue to pursue and go after that story, because that's the reason why you're doing this. You're not just trying to make a chart. It is about telling the story. So I want to wish you a great weekend. And of course, I hope that you're going to keep researching and keep documenting, and always, yes, keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everyone. Be well and be safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.